We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Station. Man, is this show loaded? It is a Falcons Friday coming up in about 20 minutes. Scott Baer, insider, AtlantaFalcons.com reporter, joins us live. We'll also, still to come on the show, Nick Costos of BetQL to tell you who to bet on. Tom Krasnicki live from Tampa, give us the inside story on the Bucks. So busy final couple of hours here. Why you have to stay with us remainder of this Falcons Friday. Right now we do a little segment every Friday called a Pick Six, where we take six games. We try and split them up between pro, but you know, we'll see here. The six games this week though are split 3-3. Hugh Douglas, 3 college, 3 pro, and we get Orrin and Abe and Hugh, and we all pick them. And if you're in your car, you're in your truck out there doing God's work and delivering and keeping this country moving,
pick along with us. I want to pick last though. I want to go last.
No, that's fine. No, don't mess Why? With the order, Hugh Douglas.
Yeah, Why? No. Why we got? He can because he asked for it, and since I'm running,
I want to pick last because I got. Okay. I want to see something.
Okay. What do you want to see? If you could win a game this week after your 0-for-6 performance last week?
Oh, I went 0-for-6 last week.
You did.
Week?
It was not a good week for any of us, but you were the only 0-for-6.
I went 0-for-6. I picked all my games wrong.
You went 0-for-6, yeah. You got all of them wrong. Every single one.
Are you kidding me?
You still want to go last, you Douglas?
Dude, you picked the Falcons. You picked the Browns. You picked the Titans. You picked the Packers.
I did.
You picked the Bills. And you picked.
Damn.
Iowa State.
Wow.
Ofer. The rare Ofer.
Wow. Yeah, you and Freaky both have gotten an Ofer now.
Hey, you know what? At least, hey, yeah, I don't feel so bad about my Ofer, though.
Yep.
Because, it was like I said, the underdogs prevailed.
Everyone was bad last
Yeah,
week.
But the underdogs prevailed last week.
Freaky won the week at 2-4, so.
The underdogs got it in last week. Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay, so what are we doing now?
Well,
we're going to try and not go 0-6 this week is what we're going to try and do.
Well, as long as you all pick the Bucks, we won't go 0-6.
So.
Let's begin here. We'll go in reverse order. So, Abe, you get to go first. How about that?
Yippee-skippy.
Yeah, yippee-skippy. We'll begin with Michigan State, which has, under Mel Tucker, actually improved quite a bit. And it has become there was some thought that Michigan State was going to kind of fade into oblivion in the Big Ten East, given the rise of Indiana and Penn State and Michigan and Ohio State. But no, you know what? Michigan State's hung in there. Actually, they've had a really nice start to this season. They've put themselves in a position where they might be a factor. They go in a long. We have two really interesting North-South games. This is one of them. Michigan State all the way down to Miami. Now, Abe, I don't know what to make of Miami so far this year. They got worked by Alabama. That's not anything that worries you. But then they lost almost lost to Appalachian State. So not that App's a bad team. It's just that we expected Miami to be potentially a top 10 team. So I don't know what to make of it. Michigan State at Miami. How do you like this, Abe?
Yeah, I actually like Miami in this game. I think Alabama, the beatdown Alabama put on them kind of rolled over into the App State game. But they did pull it out. They're riding a little bit of momentum. The Michigan State thing is weird. Like, I don't know how good they are. Like, you know who else looked good? Like, Stetson Bennett against UAB. Like, that doesn't mean he's a great quarterback. It means the opponent sucked. Michigan State, yeah, they put up 40 points all the time, but their opponents suck. Will they do that against Miami? I don't know. I don't think so. At home, I'm going to take Miami to get their season started.
Orrin, Miami hosting Michigan State.
Sparty.
You're going Sparty to go down to Miami and win a game. All right, Hugh Douglas.
Yes.
You want me to go? Okay, fine. I will take. I'll take Miami at home. Michigan State going. It's a long road trip if you're not used to playing down in Miami in that humidity, and they're not. I think Miami's the better team slightly. So, and at home, I'm going to go with the Miami Hurricanes. Rolling with Abe here that they're going to get their season started and win this game. All right, Hugh, you got to go last. Michigan State and Miami.
Yeah, Demetri Crenshaw, the quarterback for Youngstown State, he didn't have a great game against them, but he is a dual-threat quarterback, and he gave them a little bit of fits. So I'm going to go ahead and go with Miami in this one to Derrick King.
Next game, for the first time in 90 years, Auburn is playing a road game at a Big Ten team.
Penn State!
And they're going
so
to Penn State.
Last?
Wait, you pick up, you should, yeah, you pick there, Hugh.
110,000 fans at what will be a whiteout at Beaver Stadium in State College. Auburn has put up 60-plus in its first two games, but they played Akron and they played Alabama State. Penn State, their, of course, long suit is going to be defense. Sean Clifford, their quarterback, is okay, but their defense is really good. They're, you know, probably, I think, next to what, so far what I've seen this year, next to Georgia, the best defense I've seen so far this season. Abe, again, Auburn on the road in a night game in the shadows. Well, it won't be the shadows because it'll be night, of Nittany Mountain. What do you like, Auburn to Penn State?
Yeah, Akron and Alabama State, two teams next to each other alphabetically in the football encyclopedia there. That may not be true. There's probably someone else in there. I like the environment at Penn State. It's always one of the better ones, especially at night.
Don't they got like 100,000 people fit
there,
in that
there
stadium?
There might be 100,000, 106 or so. I like the defense. I know you've talked about that, John. I'm going to go with Penn State. I like to see a little more from their offense. I don't buy what Auburn's done offensively, though. I'm going to go Penn State.
All right, Oren. Auburn on the road at Penn State.
Give me the Nittany Lions. They're going to win at home versus War Eagle.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Penn State as well. It's a difficult place to play. It's a very underrated, difficult place to play. Auburn and Brian Harsin off to a nice start this year, and I think they'll have if I'm an Auburn fan, Hugh, I'm really excited about what Brian Harsin is going to bring to my team. This is a different environment. They are not playing Akron or Alabama State. This Penn State team is going to smack them in the mouth. So I'm going to go with Penn State at home.
Penn State.
All right, we're going to all make it Penn State. So clean sweep that Penn State takes out Auburn in this game. Last game, of course, on the college side, Abe, your Florida Gators down in the swamp hosting number one ranked Alabama. How do you like the game?
I got no analysis for you here, guys. I'm sorry. Alabama.
Bama all day. I think everybody picking Bama.
Not even going to pretend.
I think everybody picking Bama. That's the easy.
I already wrote it down for y'all. So
yeah, because everybody going to pick Bama, so you might as well keep it moving.
Oren?
Go ahead.
Yeah, you have to hear for the record. All right, I'll take Alabama. Hugh?
Didn't I just say everybody picking Alabama?
Well, yeah, you picked Forrest.
Thought maybe you were saying everyone else. We weren't sure where you
were.
Thought maybe you'd try and steal a game.
I have to get it on record, hey, you, so
that
you can't equivocate.
I'm not that.
I thought maybe you'd try and back up your 0-for-6 with another 0-for-6.
I take it you're taking Alabama. It's like you got to say it for the record, Hugh.
Bama.
Okay, thank you. Cowboys and Chargers. Interesting. Why did you choose this game, Abe?
I think it's a good game to begin with. I also think it's a game that's going to be tough to pick. I think we might get some mixed results in it. I try not to go with games that are obvious, but I really had a tough time leaving Florida and Bama out, even though I knew everyone was going to pick Bama. I think we're going to get some mixed results here. Someone's going to pick up a game. Someone's going to lose a game on this one.
All right, and who are you taking when the Cowboys go to SoFi Stadium to take on the L.A. Chargers?
Let's see if I can influence Hugh Douglas's decision-making here. Cowboys are coming off a mini bye week, right? You know, they played that opening game Thursday. So they got a couple of extra days of rest. The Chargers were on the road all the way across the country on the East Coast last week coming back home. I don't buy what the Cowboys did in week one against Tampa as being sustainable. They lost Michael Gallup. They've lost some members of both sides of the line. They're just banged up. I think Justin Herbert is going to keep this offense going. I'm actually picking the Chargers to take out the Cowboys.
Oren, Cowboys or Chargers?
The Chargers, because they're the better football team, and Justin Herbert is a really good quarterback, and he's playing very, very well.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Chargers as well and take them at home. Hugh, Cowboys, Chargers.
Well, like this is the thing I don't understand. Why did Abe think this was going to be hard? You know damn well I wasn't going to pick the Cowboys.
They just making sure.
The Chargers.
I thought we'd get mixed results there, but I guess not.
Guess not.
I'm not picking the Cowboys. And, dude, you know what? They got hurt. Was it Lawrence got hurt? DeMarcus Lawrence got hurt, mm-hmm. broke his foot. Leon Lett got tore his Achilles or something. They banged up down to the D-line coach got hurt.
I don't think Leon Lett's playing.
But he got hurt. That's my
hurt,
point.
I think it impacts
But he did. How do you get hurt
Leon
coaching?
He's 50, right? I mean.
He probably like 48, 49. Yeah, he probably around 50. Yeah,
yeah. Probably around 50.
He got hurt coaching.
Yeah, we got two more to get through here real quick. Chiefs at Ravens. Abe.
Chefs.
Okay, Hugh.
Wait, you wanted to go first or last?
I'm going to align with you and also pick the Chiefs. I just think they're the best team in football.
So you already picked the Chiefs there, Hugh?
Yeah, the Chiefs.
Okay. Orin, Chiefs at Ravens.
The Ravens lost another cornerback this week. And the week that you don't want to start losing cornerbacks or lose another cornerback is the week when you have to play Patrick Mahomes. So.
Yeah, but they signed Devontae Freeman to the active roster. Yeah.
They did sign Devontae Freeman.
They did sign Devontae Freeman to the active roster, which makes me want to pick the Chiefs even more.
I'm going to go with the Ravens at home in an upset and go with that Lamar Jackson.
John, thanks for the game, bud.
You don't get to win weeks with 2-4 by nothing.
This is very true. Thank you for the win.
The real
John
test
Christine.
Is whether he's actually going to pick the Falcons here in a moment.
Yeah. The Ravens at home against the Chiefs. All right, Falcons at the Bucs, Abe.
This may as well be picking Alabama against Florida. I'm taking Tampa.
I don't know if it's same thing, but okay. Orin, Falcons at the Bucs.
Yep.
What's yep?
Yep means
yep is Tampa.
The obvious pick, yep. It's the obvious pick.
Thank you, Captain Obvious.
The 13-point favorite.
Hugh, Falcons at the Bucs.
I thought I was going last.
You just be yelling.
No,
stuff,
do it real quick because I want to yell at John. Go ahead and do it.
No, you know what? Like, seriously, though, fellas, I was really thinking about picking the Falcons.
No, you weren't. Shut up. I took the Bucs. Go ahead, John. Make my day. Do it. Go ahead, John. Do it.
Two games this week.
I dare you.
Thank you, John.
You know what's funny? Not only is he going to pick the Falcons, he's also going to say, and I'm not just picking them to pick them. I actually think they're going to win this game. Go ahead, John.
I don't appreciate the way you just talked to me. I really don't.
I didn't tell you. Shut up. That's all right.
You hear the music, John. There it is, bud. Go ahead. Let us know, John.
Hey,
biggest sleep you make is between game one and game two.
Okay, so what's your pick, John? You got to say it.
We're going to go down there and shock them, and we're going to suddenly have a conversation on Monday about the Falcons in this Hey, what did you say, Hugh?
And I'm not picking them just to pick them.
The comeback, the rebound game is strong. The Falcons are going to win this game, and I'm not just picking it because the Falcons are going to win this game.
And that's why I didn't pick them, because I knew that you would.
What did you say? The comeback, bounce-back game
is strong? The bounce-back game is strong.
That's what I'm saying.
Two games, Abe Gordon, we're going to get this
one. And when the Falcons win, I want you to clip this because I want everybody to understand that Abe tried to goad me into a pick that, you know, and I was right. And I just want everybody to know
that. We know you're a homer, John. Ain't nobody tripping. We knew that. We knew what was happening.
Scott Baer, AtlantaFalcons.com, is going to join us next and explain to you how the Falcons are going to win this game on Sunday and surprise everybody, including maybe themselves, next with John and Hugh.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Morning show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 90. Time the game. It is a Falcons Friday as the Falcons get set to take on Tampa Bay. Tom Brady on Sunday. Our coverage begins at noon with the Wait For Kickoff show. Of course, Wait For Tailgate show. Chuck and Hugh, and then Network at 2 with Chris and Harry. And the call of the game with Wes and Dave, 4 o'clock on your home of the Falcons, Sports Radio 92 at the game. Hopefully the Falcons can get on to Tampa, get themselves right, get themselves a win, and make our Monday a lot better, and everybody else will be able to relax a little bit after what we saw in Game 1. Scott Baer is the digital reporter of the insider for AtlantaFalcons.com, and he joins us this morning on the WadeFord.com hotline. Hey, Scott.
Scott.
How's it going, guys? And John, you couldn't have summed it up better, man. This team definitely needs a better result to play better than they did in that season opener. I think even within the organization, they would all tell you that that's just not the way that they want to play.
With that being said, what is the plan for Jalen Mayfield? I mean, I know they're going to stick it back out there, but have you heard anything about how they're going to try to, you know, help him out a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, he has been kind of running with that first unit, obviously, and head coach Arthur Smith said that he didn't want to jerk the wheel too quickly for a rookie who played his first NFL game and is playing a little bit out of position after playing on the flanks at the University of Michigan. But to your point, they could use to help him. And while you don't want to jerk the wheel, you also want to protect your quarterback, your most valuable asset. So I think that there's got to be some help for him. The problem is, yeah, Jalen Mayfield didn't have a great day, but center Matt Hennessy, who you would think would offer him some help, didn't have a great day either. So they have multiple problems along that offensive front. The right tackle was not exactly perfect either. So they have a lot of fires to put out in a very short amount of time. And that Tampa defensive interior is pretty good. So this is another one of those baptism games. But nonetheless, it is going to be difficult. But Hugh, to your point, you do need to help him, even if you have to keep more people back, if you have to kind of have that running back there just kind of waiting for anybody to come up the middle. They need to get Matt Ryan more time than he had. It just wasn't enough for him to do anything. And fans, send me that spray chart, and there's a lot of short passes. Well, he needs time to work the ball downfield. They have to address those interior issues.
Yeah, the Falcons under Matt Ryan have been, Scott, as you know, a vertical passing team, but mm-hmm. You know, you also don't want – I mean, there was that meme out there, do you want to see a dead body that was, all over the internet? You don't want to get this guy killed. I mean, you have to do something in order to get the ball out of his hands so he's not, destroyed. Gee, I mean, you said the Bucs defensive line is pretty good. That was your quote. Oh, dear, Scott.
Understatement of the year.
Yeah. So what do you do to get the ball out of his hands quicker then?
Yeah, I mean, that just comes down to a scheme and getting guys into the flat and doing those things where maybe a pass that's in the air for 5 yards can go for, 10 or 12 or 15. I mean, Tom Brady's the master of those type of things, but then you got to be exactly on time and exactly perfect. And there's a lot of skill players doing a lot of interesting things in this Falcon scheme. It's about getting the ball in their hand quickly and letting them run with it. But again, everything goes back to the offensive line, right? Because if you're only rushing four and you're doing what the Eagles did last week, where they're just sitting back in zone, like I can't remember the number off the top of my head, but between 85 and 90% of the time, then everything becomes harder that way. So it all starts up front. We can talk about both sides of these lines, but they just have to get better. It's the foundation, the bedrock. Hugh Douglas knows that better than anybody, right? It's the foundation for what you can do. And if you can't block, you can't do much of anything. So yeah, like they can scheme things. They need to run better to at least keep those defensive linemen honest, and they have to keep the score close. Now that's a lot of if, and we need to do this and this and this. That's a lot of boxes to check is my point, but it's the way the Falcons have to operate until that front five is more solidified.
You know, speaking of that, a lot of Falcons, defensively wasn't their best showing last week. Was that more so because it was Jalen Hurts and his ability to escape out of the pocket?
I think that was an issue for them, but I like that Dean Pease said, even though you couldn't tell, we had somebody assigned him every play. But I think there were more missed assignments than they would like, and this is a defense that needs to play better than the sum of its parts. It needs to play unified. It needs to play assignment sound. And as Dean pointed out in his press conference on Thursday, when you bring pressure from one side, the guy on the other side better contain, right? Because that's where the mobile quarterback is going to go. Now, Tom Brady's going to beat you in a different way. Still pretty effective from my time watching football. But nonetheless, he's one of those guys where he's not going to be fooled by anything. And you got to make sure that you can keep him contained. I always think the fastest point to the backfield is straightforward. So that's defensive interior pressure that's going to – cause him the most problems if he has to rush outside as opposed to stepping into the pocket. That's where you have to be at your strongest. That is the Falcons' defensive strength with Grady Jarrett, unquestionably. So if you can get him moving or getting him off rhythm with the interior pressure, again, easier said than done, maybe with a blitzer there. But then when you blitz, right, then you open up a spot for a smart guy to give the ball to the open space. So not an easy task, no matter how you look at it.
Scott Baer covers the Falcons for AtlantaFalcons.com, joins us on the WaveForward.com hotline. Scott, is there a word to describe what it was like at Flowery Branch after the game last week? Was it surprise, shock, anger? I mean, talking about the team now. We're not talking about the fans. We're talking about the team.
Yeah, I think the team, Arthur Smith, in my opinion, the more I'm around this guy, the more I kind of like the tone that he's setting. And okay, like I write for the team website, like that's what he's supposed to say, right? But mm-hmm. That's not what I have to say here, but that's what I want to say because of this. He's come out several times, both in front of cameras and away from cameras, saying, "Hey, football is a big boy sport. There are no soft souls. There are no victims here. No one's feeling sorry for themselves because Sunday went the way that it went. The only way that you can get out of a hole that you started in is picking up a shovel and digging your way out." And I like the no nonsense, no excuses, no nothing attitude coming from the head coach. And I feel like that disseminates through the team, and that creates a proper tone and a proper work ethic moving forward. Because when you're at the spot that the Falcons were at, any time you spend crying about it, you're losing time to get better. And that's Arthur's message. And I think that's why this team has been motivated and staying after practice. The offensive line has been there after practice the last 2 days, right? At least that I've seen, because I'm not out there every day, but or every, Tuesday and Monday, and et cetera. But anyway, they're staying after practice. I think that's what has made the attitude correct. I think it's been a good job by the head coach, but how you act during the practice week is one thing, and then you have to translate everything that you learned in that attitude against the Super Bowl champs who have scored 30 points in 8 straight games, who have won a bunch of games in a row, and you have to translate that. And that's what you need to see, steady improvement. It starts with the head coach, but as we all know, head coaches don't execute. It's about who can go out there in Tampa on Sunday and say, "Hey, man, that Eagles game was unacceptable to the logo on my helmet and the name on the back of my jersey. How can I show better?"
With that being said, looking at Tampa Bay, who is the most dangerous offensive weapon that they have over there, in your opinion?
Oh, my gosh. You could, like, spin a wheel, right? They have 3 number one wideouts. I'm going to go – I think the easy thing is to go with Mike Evans. You could go with Chris Godwin. I think when you have those two guys in the pattern already, and then you got Antonio Brown, who I covered him with the Raiders when he kind of went off the rails a little bit. You could say what you want about his personality, but I watched that guy practice when he was able to. And what a route runner. What a precise route runner. Always in the right place at always the right time. And Tom Brady loves that. And I think that that combination is deadly, especially when there are so many other troublesome weapons in the pattern. I think Antonio Brown, he's as good as anybody.
And then you have to account for that tight end dude, whatever his name is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Ends of the ski.
Yeah, right. Scott Baer, AtlantaFalcons.com. Scott, we appreciate it. Look forward to the Falcons and Tampa Bay first meeting of the year. Let's see if the Falcons can't go out there and show us that they have taken that big leap between week one and week two. Thanks much.
Thank you.
Peace.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm leaning on, Hugh. I'm kind of hoping that there was, you know, that this whole thing about no preseason really, you know, that amounted to something here. And we're talking about a new scheme and, both on offense and defense. And maybe that week one, week two thing is a real, and we see something that, amounts to, look, I'm realistic here, you know, in terms of what my expectations are for the team. But I want to see them, as you said, go out there and show some fight and get a lot better. And then you just want to kind of, I hope the ball bounces your way. You've seen this, Hugh. I mean, football's a funny game. Ball can bounce your way. Am I trying to talk myself into something?
isn't there.
I'm just letting you talk, John, because I got some thoughts on this, but you talking yourself into to believing that it's gonna change, so I'm gonna let you go ahead and talk.
Will it be a surprising Saturday of college football, or will it be chalk? The race for the college football playoff could get interesting on another level. Next with John and Hugh. Morning show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. College football game time tomorrow morning, 9 a.m. Chris Goforth, John Chuckery, Randy Mack, 9 a.m. to noon. All you need to know about college football. We will have coverage of Auburn and Penn State for you in terms of college football. The kick is at 7:30 tomorrow night from Beaver Stadium in State College. That showdown between the SEC and the Big Ten, that'll follow our coverage of Atlanta United and DC United with Mike and Jason, which starts at 3 tomorrow. But back to college football for a moment. As we look at this, we're already in September, Hugh, two or three games, well, mostly two, into the regular season, and we've seen a couple of those perennial playoff teams already get dinged in Clemson and Ohio State. So with Clemson dinged, Ohio State dinged, we start to wonder about who else might get dinged here before it's all said and done, and how that might affect, you know, what we're going to see in terms of the College Football Playoff Committee and the choices that they're going to have to make. It's not chaos yet, but I would say, Hugh, it's far more interesting. I think that you look at teams and you start to play this out a little bit and say, we are going to allow some teams to sort of work their way into the mix, one of whom could be Penn State. They can make a big leap forward. They beat Auburn this week. Penn State takes another big step forward here.
Yeah, I mean, but you know what, John? I mean, you could say probably the same thing for Cincinnati and the games that they have coming up this weekend. I mean, I think that still a lot of football left to be played. I know you hate to hear that, but there is. And a lot of teams have made strong cases in the last couple of weeks to make their case for the 14 playoff. You can say the same thing about Oregon, UCLA, you know, with the starts that they have and the wins that they have under their belt. So I think that everything and everything with this is going to play itself out. It really is. But great start to the season. You talk about the biggest game, like talking about Cincinnati again. You got Indiana coming up this weekend, and then the week after that you got Notre Dame. They get both of those wins, John, they're going to be looked at as a team that might make some serious noise, you know, that's a good spot for them to be in.
Yeah, they do need to beat Indiana. They go to Bloomington and they go to South Bend. So it's two road games. They play back-to-back in the state of Indiana.
Yeah, and if they do that, if they take care of business, mm-hmm. Oh, man, you best believe people are going to be talking about Cincinnati. And especially when you talk about the way that they played Georgia last year, they'll be talking about Cincinnati.
Right, and Cincinnati, you know, if they're unbeaten champions in the American, certainly Cincinnati is going to be looked at as a serious candidate, because there may only be – it's not out of the question that you get a situation where you have the SEC champion, Alabama or Georgia, and Cincinnati is the only unbeaten teams in the nation. And so I think, you know, the question about surprising Saturday or chalk, I think everything potentially is surprising Saturday. I don't see chalk happening much this year. And one of the reasons why, Hugh, is because of COVID last year. What COVID gave us – and not just the transfer portal, which also, you know, has affected and really is starting to show the effects of the transfer portal on college football, where, you know, these five stars go or four stars go to teams and realize that there's three other four stars or five stars ahead of them. And so they just, okay, I'm – so you can't quite stockpile quite as deep as you have in the past. These guys leave because they want to play. And so they go find someplace else to play, and that tends to happen a lot. Last year, the NCAA granted all of the players an extra year of eligibility because of COVID. You have a number of teams that now have fifth-year seniors. If you had players who had previously redshirted, you have a number of players in the country who are sixth-year seniors. And Hugh, if you had a COVID year, which you did, and a redshirt year, which some did, and a medical redshirt year, there are even a few. Last night, Louisiana beat Ohio. Louisiana has a seventh-year senior on its offensive line. He's 24 years old, about to be 25.
Grown-ass men playing college football. I mean, I get it. Yeah, part of that has something to do with it, John. And I just think that, you know, like I said, last week was the week of the underdog. A lot of underdogs won. And I think that part of it is, you know, definitely the transfer portal. But a lot of people ain't scared of some of these big-name schools anymore. you know, we talk about the Oregon-Ohio State game and the fact that Kayvon Thibodeau wasn't out there. They had some of their best players, and they were still able to go into the shoe and do what they did. I mean, I think – and that's the thing. When you talk about Georgia, that's the thing that you're going to have to guard against, because we all sat here to a man and was, oh, yeah, Ohio State, Oregon. Oh, Oregon doesn't have a chance. I mean, that's just what it is. You have to guard, like, especially when you're one of the big-time programs, you have to guard against this, because for the last couple of years, what have we been screaming? With the UCFs, the year that Temple had a nice little run, and a couple other squads, that these teams want to make their push to be into the 14 playoffs. So now you have more and more teams that are you know, positioning themselves to be in it, to just see what the committee is going to do. If they're going to really, you know, thumb their nose up at one of these teams that goes through the whole season undefeated. And I'm really going to be looking at Cincinnati, John, because like we said, those two wins on the road back-to-back that they had – well, excuse me, those two potential games, potential wins that they have back-to-back on their schedule, if they go through the rest of the season undefeated, you cannot deny Cincinnati, especially when you talk about the ranking that they gave Notre Dame at the beginning of the season.
Yeah, you wouldn't think. I mean, right, exactly. Now, Notre Dame is a different story here. There's some teams that still have stuff to prove, Hugh, in this week. Notre Dame is one of them. Notre Dame has played two games where they beat and had to hold off, you know, the furious, you know, rally from Florida State to win that game. Now that victory doesn't look so great, you know, after what happened with Florida State last week. And Notre Dame, in its own right last week, really struggled at home against Toledo. Not that Toledo isn't a good team, but they are a Mid-America Conference team, and you're supposed to dispatch of those
Maxion.
Kind of clubs, right?
And speaking of Maxion, dude, I wonder if Bo still watch Maxion. Do Bo still, be on the Maxion train?
Be some Belchin, right, last night, right? I guess so.
What? What was that?
Well, the Thursday night was Sunbelt game.
No, but I'm saying he big part, like he's a Mac guy. That's all I was. Never mind, John. But say what you're about to say. You didn't blow it. Never mind.
Notre Dame is hosting Purdue.
Purdue, the Boilermakers.
And some fans may not realize how much of a blood feud that is. You know, those two schools are fairly close. You know, West Lafayette to South Bend is an hour and a half drive, maybe. From Purdue to Notre Dame, so their fans interact a lot, and so they don't like each other very much. So, and Purdue's not an awful team. So if Notre Dame is really going to be, you know, a factor this year, they should probably beat Purdue by 3 touchdowns. But will they? I don't know. And so I'm going to keep my eye on that one here. Alabama and Florida is another one I think we do need to keep a little bit of an eye on. I am kind of curious as to who Georgia fans would root for in this game, Hugh. If suddenly
– Alabama?
Well, let's say suddenly it's a close game. Let's say it's a 3-point game midway through the fourth quarter. Well, Orrin, if it's
that's what I'm about to say. Ask Orrin. He's a Georgia fan.
Orrin, it's 24-21 Alabama midway through the fourth quarter. Are you rooting for – is your hatred greater for Florida or Alabama at this point?
What time does the Georgia game start?
It starts at 7, dude.
I mean, at that point, like, it just – I don't
– you're indifferent?
I'm indifferent. That's my way of saying I'm indifferent okay. towards that. Yeah, like, I mean, if Alabama loses, that's – here's the thing. If Alabama loses, then Florida needs to win out, which means that Florida would have to beat Georgia. If Florida loses, Alabama can win out, and it wouldn't matter. They could still be – you face an undefeated Alabama team in the SEC championship. That's the only concern I would have about it is from a record standpoint. You'd have to win out.
I think if I'm a Georgia fan, I'm sort of rooting for Alabama to win because the idea of 12-0 and 12-0 – and then the loser of that game also gets into the playoff is probably something that I'm kind of looking at, you know, down the road. I know I'm jumping way ahead here, Hugh. Also keeping our eyes on Florida State playing in Winston-Salem against Wake Forest. A lot of questions about Mike Norvell. A lot of questions about Florida State. You know, if they can.
And one of the questions is, will he keep his job? Because you know what's funny, John? Just going around reading some of the stories. You know, just you know, looking at it. You know Deion Sanders' name is being thrown around.
Oh, sure it is.
In case Mike Norvell go out there and he poops the bed. Like they're talking about his alma mater. He's on the radar. And I just thought that was kind of, you know, ironic because we were just sitting there talking about it. Because what were we talking about, the buyout for Mike Norvell or whatever? And the fact that Florida State doesn't have that kind of bread. Somebody been talking to some of the boosters. They trying to figure it out. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but I just thought that story was kind of interesting.
Yeah, these boosters are so They have so much money that $20 million is not that big a deal. It's just not. I mean, some of these boosters have more money than you can ever imagine.
Oh, $20 million ain't that big a deal. Pap, peanuts.
You know, you get 10 guys to kick in $2 million each, they'll go, yeah, sure.
Yeah.
I mean, you're talking about guys who, these boosters, some of whom will make $20 million a year or $30 million a year. That's their salary. We're talking CEOs and stuff. Yeah, okay, I'll kick in $2 million. And who's the second best team in the West? Is it Auburn? Is it Arkansas? Is it Texas A&M? That's another question we're, you know, continuing as we kind of work through this week. And Auburn can make a big statement by going on the road and beating Penn State. So best of luck to the War Eagles as they go up to Mount Nittany to take on the Lions there in State College. All right, when we get back in a moment, top of the hour, headlines. Nick Kostos is going to tell you who to bet on in these games we were just talking about. The host of You Better You Bet on BetQL is going to join us live. And we'll get the inside skinny from the professional. Next with John and Hugh.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.